Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for checking out another episode of the show. Today's features, my buddies, Anthony J. Russo and Justin Miles. I had a great time hanging out with these two fellas, talking about their upcoming show Thursday night at Blue Strawberry and some of their long friendship, and we get into some brand new music that Anthony's working on, and we do some live jamming. A little bit of everything in this episode. I hope you dig it. I do want to remind you that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company, an American Rambler, located right here in St. Louis, Missouri, over in the Maplewood area. Swing by the shop and visit them for all your all-natural beard oils, balms, junk powder, or one of my personal favorites, their Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the ultimate beard and skin moisturizer. It's a blend of 8 nutrient-rich soft oils whipped directly into unrefined shea butter for a moisturizing kick like no other. The highest amount of triglycerides and fatty acids available on the beard care market, hands down. World-renowned, but made right here in St. Louis. Shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com and use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase. Even if you don't have a beard, they've got you taken care of. American Rambler has all sorts of wonderful grooming products for all your needs. So check it all out, everything at roughneckbeardcompany.com, and tell them Shane sent you. Also, big thanks to Heil Sound for their continued support and helping make this show sound great. Shop HeilSound.com today and get yourself a brand new microphone. Recording this intro on my PR40, and I love this microphone, so grab yourself one of these. With that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy this brand new episode with Anthony J. Russo and Justin Miles.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, I'm Justin Miles.
I'm Anthony J. Russo.
And you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Man.
Rock Paper Podcast.
That's the one.
Yeah.
There it is.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double decker fudge round rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Anthony Russo and Justin Miles. Welcome to the show, guys.
And thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Happy to be here, man. Good to see you again.
Good to see you guys, man. Hey. I feel like it was just yesterday that we were hanging out.
As a matter of fact.
That was a fun night, man. I caught up with you guys, stopped in for a little dinner and a show, and caught you playing a couple hours live over there at Snibo's.
Yeah, Snibo's.
Yeah, so that was a fun little evening. A good crowd out there, everybody having a good time, and so that was fun. But that was my introduction to Justin, and like, so it was cool to get to meet you officially and get to hear some of your playing and stuff. So
cheers, man. Thanks.
Yeah, for sure.
And
so
you guys pronounced it Snibo's. I called it Snibo's for a while. I don't know.
I think it's a 50-50 split on
Is
that
it?
One.
Yeah. I don't know.
So great to be here at Snibo's. What? What? No. Wait. You're like, AJ's like, Snibo's. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. That's my first time in there, so I took a chance, and hopefully I got it.
Yeah. It's off the main drag. Not a lot of people know about it. People ask, where are you playing on a certain night? I'm like, oh, yeah, Snibo's Cave Springs.
And yeah.
They don't really know about it. There's an indoor sports complex across the road from that kind of, I think, fuels a lot of their business. Adult sports leagues.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. buckets of beer kind of people.
All right. Yeah. But yeah, that was fun. And like, you guys got to break out some tap during that too. Get to showcase all your different talents and stuff. So
yeah, it's always an interesting one, man, busting out the tap dancing in a bar scenario.
All right.
It always depends. I mean, it doesn't really depend on the crowd. We're going to do it no matter what. But sometimes you get folks that, I mean, last night we had probably a group of like 30 guys within the first couple of tables. Like some car dealership had a company party last night and they sat down. We started playing at 7 and at like 6:50 they sat down like to eat right in front of us. And I was like, well, here we go, guys, strap in. And we start tap dancing. You kind of get the look over the shoulder like, what in the hell is happening here?
Yeah. Literally, like, I could, if I wanted to, I could lean from the microphone and probably tap the guy on the shoulder. They were right. So close. It was right there.
Just about to get you this. Here it comes.
So, obviously, I know a little bit about Anthony through the show. We hung out not too long ago and did one of these and had a really great time hanging out. Obviously you two know each other for a long time, right?
Yeah.
I just met him yesterday.
Just walked in. And like,
yeah. Oh, man. Hey, you want to play guitar tonight with me? Yeah. You tap dance too? Oh my God.
What? This is so weird. So like I said, I met last night and been learning a little bit, Anthony said he had a couple of records out there and I started listening to those, and on the way over today, just kind of get an idea what your original music's like and stuff. Cause obviously last night was a lot of cover material for the bar crowd and, which was all a lot of fun. And even hearing your take on some of those covers was really cool. Pickup Man, for sure. That was Joe Diffie.
That's the new one that we have on the plate, yeah, on the hot plate.
Man, it was Thursday night, and we were like, let's play Pickup Man. And you started playing this nasty little riff, and I was like, that ain't Pickup Man. You were like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, just teasing it.
G, bud, just play it. I'm like, all right. Off we went. It's dirty, man. I don't ever want to hear that song any other way.
Yeah, I really liked it, and just like the phrasing on it. So like, it was just like a new take on it, for sure. Like, felt good, man. It was just a classic song, but with a new twist.
It's such a fun song. You know, I know you know I'm obsessed with that song. I'm very obsessed with like the Joe Diffie version of it, the Pickup Man. Which, if people like, if you just said Joe Diffie Pickup Man, a lot of people are like, I don't know. But if you sing the refrain, you know,
right.
you set my truck on fire and roll down the hill. Yeah. Something we like about a Pickup Man. They're like, oh, I know this song. My dad listened to this. But everyone loves it. I think it appeals to a cool crowd, and the twist that we have on it, what he was talking about, is just like that. There's that lick in the beginning that Brent Mason is a famous Nashville lead guitarist that plays on everybody's records. He plays that like that opening riff, and just it just has this funky groove. We decided to just take it and just roll with it, like this nasty backbeat, just sit like almost like you're sitting in the back of the truck, you know. Just cruise and really slow down the main street drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works, man.
And if you go too fast, it just loses its stink.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what I like, like you're saying. Like, it just kind of sits back and, like, it's definitely, I don't know. You'll have to come out here because it was fun, man.
It's fun. Right. We got you bobbing your head.
Yeah,
like, definitely. You were like, okay.
Yeah. I was singing along all night. You guys do all my favorite stuff. Like, I mean, I'm a giant fan of music. There's all kinds of stuff that I love, but you guys do a lot of variety, which is fun too. And like, so it was cool to see you guys going back and forth, trading. So, you know, who's fronting the song or even singing together and doing harmony kind of things. And so it was really entertaining, a lot of fun. So it was a good night for sure.
Thanks, man.
Man, it was good to see you come out. Yeah. You walked in the door, and I'm always like, yes. Yeah,
that's one of my...
the mayor is here.
That's one of my favorite things, like, not to give you a heads up that I'm coming. I'll just drop in and, like, surprise people. Like, and so it's pretty fun, like, when people recognize me when, like, if I walk in, the, you know, like, the performers and stuff, they're like, oh, hey, what's, you know, like, in the middle of a song. So
yeah.
It's always fun. Like, it's just nice to have that, you know, so... But yeah, man. So I wanted to kind of get into a little bit your guys' story. I mean, obviously, you guys go back a ways. And does this friendship start with dance, I guess? Is that where you guys started?
Yeah, 100%. We met in 2002, mm-hmm. Reno, Nevada. We were doing a show called Tap Dogs together, and that was the first time we met. Man, you were young. You were...
Dog, I was 17 years old.
17.
Performing in a casino in Reno, Nevada. I should have been in, like, English class.
Fresh, still in high school. Nah. And your teacher let you, like, take this like, leave of absence kind of deal.
It was a bit of a process to make it all happen. I had to meet with the guidance counselor and get, like, the principal's approval and line up some, like, actual education when I came back to make up for the time lost so I could graduate on time, because I didn't just want to walk out of there with nothing, you know?
And he always has a video. You always had your video camera with you. You were always, like, you were that little Hi-8 thing going.
I've always actual piece of shit camera. That was part of the deal. I got out of high school, but my friend's dad was the AV teacher in high school. And we made a deal that if I made a short documentary film of my touring experiences, and I would come back and, like, take fourth quarter of my senior year, and I made a documentary that was, like, something submittable to any sort of, you know, film festival, he would give me a passing grade. So I didn't spend a moment filming anything until, like, the last 2 weeks of the contract. We were there, like, fucking months.
Yeah.
And then, like, right at the end, I was like, I'm getting everybody out of bed. I'm like, I need you guys to, like, Reservoir Dogs walk down the alley and I'll film this. Yeah, and, like, interviewed, like, company manager, hotel people, like, and just, like, crammed it in all at the last minute. And then my fourth quarter, all I had to do was edit, like, a little 6-minute thing. But the cool thing about that documentary, you didn't find this out till later.
Yeah.
When I first met Justin, we were hanging out in the hotel after one of the shows, and a couple guys had guitars around, and we all just, like, sit around and listen to music in our, like, cheap, shitty, like, Motor Lodge motel.
It was a nightly thing.
Across from the nice hotel. They didn't put us up there. They put us up in the Motor Lodge, where the doors open to the outside and the crackheads throw rocks at your window to get money.
True story.
No joke. I'm like, man, I'm 17. Back. Please stop throwing rocks at my window. I don't have meth. But Justin gave me a CD. He was like, hey man, listen to this when you got some time. Went back to my room and put the CD in my laptop. I don't know if some of you aren't familiar with that concept, but you used to have a CD drive on a laptop computer. Yeah,
IBM ThinkPad kind of.
Yeah, for sure. A little pencil eraser mouse. And I listened to this album and I was like, holy shit, okay, cool. This dude's got some music. And the next time we talked about it, I was like, man, who played the bass on that? Who played this and that and that? And the answer to every question was him. He self-produces his entire album. And I met this guy as a tap dancer. And he gives me this album of 8-something tracks.
Yeah, something like that.
You know exactly how many it was.
I think it was 4 or 5 tracks. Whatever. Like that. Yeah.
But it was
burnt on, like, a verbatim disc or something.
Yeah, man. But I was super impressed at his, like, multifaceted, just his Batman belt was stocked. He had everything on that record. Was all him: harmonies, vocals, drums, bass, guitar, everything, and the songwriting to boot. And that little documentary film I had to make to graduate high school, I used all his tracks for the soundtrack for that film. So I didn't have to worry about getting rights for anything else. I was like, hey man, let me do this. Let me use your music for this. And from that, like, that was super inspirational to me. Because I had literally just bought my first guitar, like, within a month of that, learning how to play, just...
Because all the boys, BS. we would hang out nightly, and, like, Sheldon, Tyler, me, even you a couple times, like, everyone would just, like, pass guitars around. It seemed like everyone had a guitar on tour.
Yeah, everybody could at least play one song.
Yeah. Chris was playing, like, I just remember Chris's version, Chris Urk, what up, man? He played his version of Four Non-Blondes, What's Up?
Yeah, okay.
And he got in it.
Man. Oh yeah, like, he got emotional.
That's the good.
Yeah, I just remember laughing so hard.
That's my pissing. Karaoke classic, man.
Oh man,
do you sing it like that? Like, go for it. Like,
I try.
It lands.
Like,
it does land.
Yeah,
I don't care where you are. It's gonna land.
And the whole bar will just go ape shite. It wasn't until, like, what, 6 years later in, like, Queens or no, we randomly ran into each other. In New York City, East Village.
Oh yeah.
What's the name of that place?
I know. Lily, I don't know the name of it. It's called Lily Coogan's. That's the first That's the first time I had enough confidence to take a guitar to an open mic and in New York City to boot. Super intimidating. I'd been going to that for a few weeks. And were you doing Stomp?
I was.
Around
the
corner?
I was up on 8th and 2nd at the Orpheum doing Stomp. And it was like a Saturday or some random. It was a random night, whatever night they had.
It would have been a Thursday.
It was a Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I must have just got out of the show. And then just randomly, we would just come down to, like a bunch of us would come down to the Lily Coogan's and do the open mic. And then in walks, like, we haven't been in contact for 6-7 years. And then in walks Anthony J. Russo. And of course, I'm like, AJ. And all his buddies are like, Anthony? But I know him as AJ. Because right. that's all we called you. We never said Anthony.
Yeah.
So AJ. AJ.
Give me you got a coffee, fella.
Screwdriver. Tall. So you played your. You played that one song. I called it the taxi song.
Oh, it was called the song was called Nature of the Beast.
Yes,
and it was about people like cheating on people.
Yeah,
just like different scenarios, overseas flight, Mile High Club, random shit. Like, just I mean, it was rooted in my like watching people, specifically in like the dance industry. It's like randomly like incestual and weird. And you just watch that unfold, and I was like, man, everybody's. Oof, man, I got this putting a little bad taste in my mouth, but I'm gonna write a song about it.
It was so funky. It was absolutely funky. This is pre Jason. Well, this is a little bit after Jason Mraz, but I just remember I was a fan of Jason Mraz and Dave Matthews and all that stuff. But I remember you having this like this funkiness to it. And I was like, damn, homeboy got good.
I wrote that song with my roommate at the time, Danny Wallace, and our buddy Donovan Helma. We like contributed on lyrics on all that.
Sick.
And yeah, it went over well, but like I almost like don't enjoy singing it because just the topic like is like
oof. All right.
It's a funky tune though.
It's still not as raunchy as some of that stuff that's out there now though.
Yeah, I mean, it's man.
Yeah, I think it'd be all right with it.
Man, so Tap Dogs, and then led you to being on Stomp for a while and.
Yeah, so I did Tap Dogs, and he was in, Anthony was in high school, and then he took a leave of absence, and then I was actually in college at Point Park University. I took a leave of absence to do the Tap Dogs thing. That's where we met, and it was like, all right, cool, see you later, dude. All right, see ya. Probably never talk to you ever again in life. But no, we ended up just reconnecting at some point, and... Yeah.
When did you start doing Stomp? I don't even think I know that.
I think 2005-ish, 2006... And then, I went on tour for a little bit, and then I think we had it. We exchanged information, and of course there was Facebook and stuff like that. But it was a while. I mean, I don't remember the last time we. It was like, wasn't it the Germany tour? It was like panned to like.
Yeah, I think you got brought back. How long did you tour with Stomp though?
Up to like 2011.
That's a run, man. Jesus.
It was a hell of a run. It was off and on. It wasn't like straight every day, 365 days a year. It was like, we stomped.
Slap my legs and clap my hands and garbage cans. And
just, yeah, exactly. did that for a hot minute. Then I moved back to Maryland, started teaching full time and really started to dabble into like playing out live music. Mm-hmm. Like I would always just kind of do like little things here and there. And that's the crack whore knocking on the window in the middle of the night.
that's Reno.
Yeah, that's Reno.
Rocks on the window. I'm getting nightmares about that.
And then we did that Germany run 2015 in Dusseldorf.
Yeah.
And reconnected again in New York City in a fridge.
Oh, yeah, we rehearsed.
In a fridge.
Like the gigs are always nice and all that, but the set for Tap Dogs is like this industrial, like metal piece of like, rusty garbage, and they keep them in these like shipping containers, just how they would store most things and travel them. I'm like, well, our show's gonna open in Dusseldorf, Germany, but the set we got a set coming from Australia going to Germany, and you guys are gonna rehearse on the set that's like it's in a container like in fucking Newark, New Jersey. And we're like, all right, so they get the set out of storage, and they put us up in this like warehouse complex. It's like a shipping facility, trucks driving around all over the place, gates and ports and all kinds of stuff. And they set us up in this giant warehouse. We just called it the fridge because it was fucking freezing, it was 40 degrees in that place. that sucked.
Yeah, it was tough.
And then they put us up in Manhattan. So every morning we get up and like get on a bus, drive to New Jersey, which is like nobody's goal in life, I think. we did this like 5 days a week. And rehearse in the fridge, get all sweaty, and then oh, take a break. I'm like, cool, do you got a space heater or something? So
yeah. It's reminding me, you ever watch SNL when Fred Armisen was on there? Like he used to come on Weekend Update, and I think it was like the mayor or something, governor or some kind of character, but he was an impression of this guy, and I think he's blind. But he,
I was going to guess like Giuliani or something.
No, and I forget, no, I can't think of his name. But anyway, he said, Fred, you really do this impression. But that was like his tagline to everything. He's like, in New Jersey, you know, stuff like that. He was always
New Jersey.
He was always making fun of New Jersey every time. And like, this made me laugh. Like,
New Jersey's beautiful. Yeah. There's some good hikes out there, but a couple spots.
Right. It's just super silly, but.
Rehearsing for a national tour of a well-known show in a warehouse.
In a 40-degree warehouse.
In a 40-degree warehouse. Well, you have an hour and a half commute both ways, you know, sitting in traffic.
Dusty boogers at the end of the day. Like, it was rough.
Yeah.
We rehearsed there, what, 2-3 weeks or something? Put the show together, had some new guys to train up, and then we played like 4 months in Dusseldorf, Germany, which was super cool because typically we'll be in an international destination. If it's a tour or something, we'll be there like 1, 2, 3 weeks, something like that. And then we move on. We were in this place long enough to like learn a language enough to where you could like leave your house at the beginning of the day, go to coffee shops, restaurants, whatever, and make it home and speak German the whole time. Like just like you could, like by the time we left that, we could all kind of survive in this foreign country and speak the language and integrate, make friends. And we really like were there long enough to like make some really cool relationships with people that still kind of like
still keep in contact. Yeah
There's
Howie and
Typhoon.
Yes, Typhoon. Yes,
my name is Typhoon.
Loved him. Yeah, Sunny. There's a bunch of people, man.
Very cool.
Yeah,
I just think that's super cool too, just like the fact that, you know, something you guys love to do, and I got good enough at it that it now takes you around the world and like you get to perform and stuff, and like, and so that's that's the dream, man. Like,
I mean, fun fact, man, Justin's mom and my mom, they both own dance studios.
Yeah,
we both came from this like mom runs a studio, come up in that business, and you learn dance, you maybe don't love it, and you realize you do at a later age when you actually like understand like how you feel about anything in life. But yeah, the parallels on like the things we do together artistically and like our history, where we come from and what we are like into musically and creatively, man, we're like,
right.
Sprinkle that like nonsense humor on top of it, you know, kind of peppered out throughout the whole day. It's just,
yeah, you can call it that.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
Nonsense.
This is $3 and nonsense.
I don't know how you do that so quick. He has like one word and flip it just like that.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Well, God, that's what I mean. Like,
it's obnoxious being in this brain.
It's perfect.
It's fucking terrible.
That's what I mean. It works so well. Like I said, this like this complete package on the show at the stage. You know, it's like, you're getting some of the dance, you're getting some of the songs, and you guys sound great playing together. And then you get like the banter in between songs and setting up tracks and whatever. You're like, you know, just quick-witted and stuff. It's like a half comedy, half, you know, live performance and stuff. So
right on.
It's just it's very entertaining, like I said. So it's come out to see some of these shows while Justin's here in town. Watch these guys.
Hey.
But we do have a big one we want to talk about. Which would be April 1st at the Blue Strawberry in the Central West End. You guys will be doing, two sets, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And two, like, roughly hour-long sets.
So, obviously, people have maybe seen you guys doing more of a bar show, but this will be more of the theater type of production,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's more of a listening space as well, which, I mean, the bar shows, we can do that all day. We can shout Joe Diffie from the rooftops and be like, drink beers, let's get it. Like, we'll do that all night long. And these 4-hour sets, we don't really carve these playlists out. We don't write a set list for like a pub gig. You walk in the room, you kind of look who's hanging out, you see who's there.
Read the room.
Like, all right. Yeah,
100%.
Play five songs and be like, hey, by the way, we take requests, and people come up and we kind of let the room steer the show.
Mm.
And that way people stick around a little bit longer. We build some relationships with people and their requests. Right. And they're like, oh, there's the guy with the shitty requests over there. Don't even look. Don't make eye contact with him. He's the worst. Like, you get to like build these like weird little connections with people over the course of 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
But this particular show, like, we look forward to things like this because it's just more of a focused listening space, and there's no TVs on with sports games, right, and all these different shuffleboard and a pool table cracking a rack of balls. Oh my God, there's the freaking free throw game like behind us last night with a chain net on it.
And we'll sit there and like, you were like, yeah, he's gonna see, like, in the middle of the song, I don't know what it was, but you were like, and he's gonna go for that 3-pointer right now.
He missed like five in a row, so I just started singing Brick House and talking all shit on his free throw game.
Yeah, we were just like, both of us turned towards him. All we had to do was turn 10 degrees, and there
he was just here. Right, he was
there.
Basically
decided to just like take the girlfriend and wife, whoever it was, and just be like, let's go play some free throws in the middle of this song. Yeah.
But yeah, the blue strawberry gig, man. It's,
you guys weren't doing anything, were you? Like, you mind if I get a couple shots? Let me warm up here, right?
win some tickets and go get a teddy bear.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, this Blue Strawberry is a more of a listening space, and the difference between the pub gig and what we're going to do down there, it's just more of a focused room. So it allows us to, like, we're not going to sit here and tell like stories of, you know, details of different like tour destinations, and like, mm-hmm, we've been all over the place in some really like interesting scenarios for, you know, as far as entertainment goes.
Right.
We were on a Tap Dogs tour. We went to Saudi Arabia. It's a country where dancing is outlawed, and we're hired to come in and perform dancing.
Yeah.
And the biggest insult you can give to somebody in Saudi Arabia is to show them the bottom of your foot. And the logo of the show is a boot stamp. So they had to modify the logo, and like, we'll tell stories of our tours and travels and all this. We don't really spend time doing that at a bar gig because it just gets lost in the room just from the conversations and the pool games and all this. Free throw Fred over here. But we get to open up a little bit more than we normally would, and people get a little bit more of a perspective into like our friendship, the history we've had, the looking back, man, it's, some of the shit's really wild.
Very wild.
It really is.
Yeah, we like the last time we actually did something like this back in the Southern Maryland at a place called Bug Eye, and it was fun. It was stellar. To some of the stuff, we were like, well, should we talk about this? Nah, we should probably leave that. We should leave da 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 out of this. Isn't like a story that we've both shared, you know? Because we're best friends. We've been through a lot of shit together, high ho and down. But we've been through a lot of shit, and some of the stuff, I mean, obviously we're gonna leave out, you know.
Sure.
But you know, talk about some really crazy stuff, but
yeah,
we'll talk about it. And it's an intimate situation. It's like a cabaret performance. You got two guys that traveled around the world with, you know, did Stomp, did Tap Dogs, and you know, we've done a lot of things together, and just, and even in life, just camping and writing music together, you know, how this song came about, how his song came about, what this, how we spent time, you know, elbow to elbow, you know, going across. I mean, we don't sit there for 2 hours and just talk about this. We tie it in. There's a little bit of thread to every song. Okay, now here's this song for inspiration. And just share laughs and tour stories and tour bus stories. And you know,
that Baltimore gig, man. And to be quite honest, we don't plan out all the stories we're going to tell. Like, you know, this particular song, we got a couple talking points on it. But like what you saw last night, it just unfolds based on the environment and the journey in that room, in that time.
I mean, that's the beauty of live performance, though, too, is like, you know, it's just like that fact that it can be change at any moment, but inspired by anything, whatever. It's like, yeah, there is a lot of, you know, like a theater, a proper play in a theater, you know exactly where you're going to get, you know, the people are very well rehearsed, and even probably your Tap Dog shows and everything else. Like, but that's the fun of live music, especially, like, you know, it's like there's the element of improv into it also. And
we perform our original tunes. We perform, right, you know, the compositions that he's written and some of the stuff that I've written over the many years, and just dabble a little bit of like a backstory to it, and kind of like a storyteller's unplugged kind of situation, you know, almost. Yeah. And people, you know, that's what they're getting. They're coming to see that. They're coming to hear and really like be involved in what it is that we're singing. And that to us, it's a breath of fresh air because we don't get to do that a lot.
Right.
We don't get to do
especially
that.
Especially not these days.
Yeah. Especially not these days. So when we get the opportunity to do that, and there's not a lot of opportunities to do that back in Maryland right now. To be able to come out from Maryland and to do this type of show, play music in general, is amazing. And the people here every time in St. Louis, St. Charles are just absolutely stellar. Amazing. And
it's this little pocket of freedom here in the Midwest.
There's a little pocket of freedom out here. It feels good, man. This is kind of like a spring break for me too as well. So it just feels good to be out here and play music with my best friend. But then we get to actually rock this strawberry, the Blue Strawberry show.
Sure.
And, you know, just hit him in the heart, hit him in the head, hit him everywhere you can with some goodness, man.
Yeah, man.
Kick him in the shins.
I like with this G chord.
I like that you said spring break, because it's actually nice, like, spring weather we're having for now. Like, this spring, like, typically most of our, like, I work for the school and our spring breaks are like, it's always snowing. It's like, yeah,
you're getting the tail end of winter.
Yeah, go have a spring, you know, go enjoy your spring break, and then, like, you know, it's like snowing everywhere, and it's like, oh, this is not spring. Like, what, you know? Yeah. So, but we're actually
rename this situation.
Yeah, it's like, you know, hitting 70s this week and stuff, so it feels good out there, man. But
man, I've noticed just the last, like, we got that little glimmer of like good weather about a week and a half ago, and some of like the restaurants that have patios, I feel like people are like, they're not willing to miss out on what they missed out on last year.
Yeah,
there's this little like, you're not taking it from me again, yeah, you know what I'm saying? 4th of July, like, I'm barbecuing.
Yeah, man.
But there's little glimmers of live music performance in these little venues, and a lot of them are more pub style places or outdoor patios, restaurants, and things like that. To find an actual listening room space that's opening themselves up to do this,
right?
Blue Strawberry used to bring in acts from all around the country. They'd bring in, they weren't really always celebrating local acts, but now they're working with what they got,
right?
And now they're focusing their sites locally, and they're starting to promote like the incredible stuff that is right here in our backyard, which is fantastic to see. Creates a great opportunity for us that we haven't had in a while to really like be in a room and connect with people how we've known how to do. Like, man, between the two of us, shit, man, I started Tap Dogs when I was 17, just turned 37. That's 20 years. Yeah. God damn it. But like, I'm kidding when I'm like reluctant to talk about that. But yeah, we've both got like 18, 20 years.
Over 20 years.
And yeah. That just, well, you for sure got over 20 years.
I was like, don't say it. Don't say it. Damn it.
But man, like, you do it for so long and then it goes away for a year.
Right.
And you're like, well, shit, who am I? what do I contribute to the world now? I can cut grass. Shit.
Right.
So we're lucky to have like to have the space, really.
100%.
So grab some tickets with bluestrawberrystl.com is the website. Yeah. Head over there and snag some tickets, come out and join us April 1st at Blue Strawberry, St. Louis, Missouri. Since I met Justin, I started following you online, and I thought, speaking of dance and stuff earlier too, I saw you shared a clip of you on World of Dance, and I was like, that's pretty neat, you know, national television, and then, but I was like, man, that would be quite tricky to stay focused with Jennifer Lopez sitting just feet away. She's right there. Yeah. She's a beautiful woman.
Girl, would you like another husband?
Yeah.
Would you like another husband? That was an experience, man. Yeah, we did that with the Jam Project back in 2018. It was a brutal experience as far as like being on set for like 18 hours. But to be able to bring tap dance to a national like TV level, like and just to kind of shine some light on it, just a little bit, it was like kind of our, it was nice to be like our contribution to that community, to be able to give. Okay, now this is our little stamp on it, you know.
Yeah.
And we made it past the cut, and we got onto the second round. You know, a lot of tap dance wasn't able to do that at that time. Now I think it's a little different because it was 3 years ago. But yeah, it was really cool. It was a very humbling experience to come home to Maryland. Both AJ and I were actually, oh sorry, Anthony, IJ. Both Anthony and I were living in Las Vegas at the time.
It's just Russo, man.
Russo. Oh, now I know who he is. We were both living in Las Vegas at the time, and shortly before it aired, we filmed it back in January and February, and then it aired like in July, August timeframe, just in time for us to go out on tour with Tap Talks again back in 2018. But it was really fun. I spent about 2 or 3 weeks back in Maryland just as it aired. And it was like the first time that I felt so much love and support. Not that it was not there before, but it was just really humbling to come home. And everybody was just like, hey, man, World of Dance. And not like they weren't hyping it up and blowing your spot up, but it was just like friends. You've met a lot of the friends back in Southern Maryland, too. Just like Tap House and like Toots,
a lot of
and
musicians. Last Drop,
and a lot of musicians like over that way, and the Tavern, and all types of sorts of places. And everyone was just really like, it was really cool. And I actually got a couple screenshots from speaking of like pubs with all the TV screens and everything, of just everyone focused, and every TV screen, like maybe 4 or 5 or 10, had the performance on it, and you see the screenshots of it, and it was just really humbling to see that.
Yeah,
it was like probably the one time that I could be like, yeah, that was that time.
Right.
That was that little nugget of fame that kind of just gave you a little uppercut into the world of the entertainment world. You know,
sure,
it was really cool.
I went through kind of a similar thing with a friend of mine who's, you know, gone on to a lot of success, but Tommy Jonigan, he's a comedian here in St. Louis, and when he was first making his like his national TV thing, well, he was auditioned for Last Comic Standing, and I used to see him at the Funny Bone all the time and watching him, like, you know, practice there, doing run through a set and stuff, just getting ready for the TV taping and things, and then he'd go fly out there and do the recording, and it was just like, it was just super cool to see your buddy on TV, and then like, and then now like his career's taken off and doing other things. But it's just like, you know, it's really a neat moment when, you know, the success story, the small town kid kind of made it, you know, it's like, and does it. So it's like, just feels, but you're like you're saying, you had all these other things, but like, it's weird how people find that one moment, like, oh, now he's on TV, so now he's like really good, kind of thing. It's like, even though even though you've been doing this professionally for whatever, for, you know, so many years, right, and things, and
right,
but it still feels good that the people recognize and notice and stuff. So
it was like, cool, man. Yeah. It is really nice when someone gets that,
sure,
that little limelight.
Yeah, I mean, even me, like, I mean, not to make it all about me, but I like, locally, I've been doing the show for like 7 years, and I just got a little feature in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. So like,
I saw that. Yeah, dude.
So like, it was,
that
like,
was awesome.
It was nice to get a little, you know, hey, you're doing something. So I felt good to kind of a little pat on the back. So
yeah, you should,
getting recognized. So.
People take note.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been talking a lot of dance, but you guys, like I said, we did do some live jamming, and you guys do play some great music too. So this was fun to little acoustic session down here in the basement in the speakeasy.
This was awesome. Yeah. This is the first time I've been here for, I don't know, been coming going for like 6 years here since you've been here, since we've like rekindled and stuff like that with the friendship. But like,
did we have a fight?
Yeah, I think we did break up for a while. Yeah. I don't know why I use those words. We did. We broke up between. Don't you remember
since
that?
Since we rekindled.
We were on a break.
We like recrossed paths.
I found Tinder and I was like, Justin, fuck off.
Kept swiping left. How does he keep showing up on this, man? It's the first time I played music on here. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And I've seen it before. Heard.
This little spot was born of the pandemic. I mean, I put a bar down here just because, you know, just like any guy, I want a bar in my basement. And then sure enough, when all the bars closed down, I was like, well, if I'm going to go live, I'm not just going to do it on my couch. So I set everything up down here, put some lights down, and started doing these live streams, typically on the Sunday that I would play at Crawdaddy's. I did the same time, same day, just from down here. And man, I still hear, like, today, like, man, those speakeasy shows you did back during, like, the shutdown and all that. Like, man, the whole family be on the couch watching you play. Like, we put you up on the TV. I'm like, what? Yeah. Really? Like, all right, I got to watch my mouth. Got kids hanging out.
Yeah. Got little Johnny watching.
Yeah.
This place is dope.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned Justin has a couple of records available digitally wherever you're getting your music at. But we did do a live take on your song College.
Yes.
That appears on your last record.
It's an old song. It's an oldie but goodie.
Yeah.
It's on, like Anthony said, it's on his 2002 high school documentary about being on tour with Tap Dogs.
Only the finest quality.
And I actually redid that back in 2015. Just did like a little, like another album called Catching Thoughts. That was shortly before we went on tour. And yeah, today just felt like kind of like dusting that one off a little bit and just giving it a little hee-ho. And I like that tune a lot. It always comes around a little bit.
Nice,
and,
man.
And I know you're a fan of that song. He's like, something about that drop D, man. Just just get it. Sounds like Smokey.
That's good, dog.
Appreciate that. So it was it was nice to like just dust that one off and give it a little rail.
what's that Steve Ewing always at the Urge shows, and he's like, when I forget what the track is that they do, but I think it's Straight to Hell or something like that. I think it's in drop D or yep. something. And then he's like, and he's like, dropping it down to funky D, y'all. And like, yep, like just, anyway, it just makes me laugh that he always calls it out like that they're changing it. So, it's
A little commercial break from Steve.
Right. Yeah. So, but yeah, this was super cool. And we got some video we recorded. So you'll be, you know, check that out if you.
Are you listening on Spotify when you were listening to the stuff? Or
yeah.
Spotify, that's the go-to. Yeah.
I followed you on there, so.
Hey.
Yeah. You can do that, too, if you're listening and want to follow along. But, yeah, I was checking it out on Spotify on the drive over. Give me some road tunes.
Sweet, man.
It was fun. And
thank you for listening to that.
I appreciate absolutely, that. Man. Yeah. It was cool to hear, like, you know, obviously hearing last night you guys doing some 90s alternative stuff to country to, you know, a little bit of everything in there mixed up, and, you know, Nelly to Miley Cyrus and everything else.
Frank Sinatra.
Oh, Jesus. The Frank Sinatra. This guy requested Frank Sinatra, and then he went and laid on his back on a pool table.
Yeah. I mean, like you do.
Yeah. When you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, that's what you do.
Right. Yep.
But, so I didn't really know what your originals might sound like. So that's what was kind of fun to, like, press play and see what is going to come out. So it was a lot of, like, there was on that record you mentioned, there is a lot of influences coming through. Like, I could hear some stuff that I don't know, one was kind of more heavier rock kind of feel to it, like I think what, track two or something, three and what early,
yeah,
but like it felt like, you know,
probably college, probably, yeah. That's like the full like orchestrated right. version of it with electric guitars right. and stuff. Yeah.
And then there was like, but then there was like other stuff that were like, you know, like a little more funky vibe, kind of like that Jason Mraz, like you mentioned. Sure. And stuff. Or
I'll take that.
I thought my brain went to like G-Love and Special Sauce. So,
oh, dude. Oh, let me just give you a little high five. I was like, pew, pew. Yeah, I've actually gotten that before, and I've actually, it's so funny, I've never, like, all my college buddies are like, you know, this sounds like G-Love and Special Sauce, yeah. And even you've mentioned it, you're like, sounds like G-Love and Special Sauce, this is a long time ago, and then finally, like, this recently, you know, I started really listening to some G-Love and Special Sauce, like, it just pops up randomly on some, like, sure. Spotify radio, and I'm like, I kind of hear it.
Yeah.
Do you cover G-Love and Special Sauce?
No, but I want to.
Man, what's wrong with you?
My baby's got sauce.
What's wrong with you? Cold beverages, let's get it, man.
Yeah. He's so funky, so nasty.
Yeah, but that's what I said. That's where my brain went with that for sure. But like, it was just cool to hear. Oh, I love music like that. I like records that take you on a journey through a little bit of everything, you know. So it doesn't have to be all pop or rock or whatever, you know, just a little bit. There's a lot of like putting it all in a blender and, you know, see what happens. So
I like
that's how I like it. But
cheers, man.
Yeah. That. So is there, obviously, you said this record's. A little, a couple years old, but are you working on some new things? Is there
There's a couple things in the pipeline. I have a shit ton of voice memos with just some stuff that I've been messing around with since a few years ago. I have enough stock to maybe just explode one day. And but the last couple years, I mean, due to time and patience and stuff like that, but like the last couple years, I have such a sure joy of actually helping other people work with their songs right. and their EPs. If they want to, hey, I got the single I want to put out, or can you help me? I like to kind of put the producer hat on a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, it's weird cause I actually enjoy that a lot, maybe a little bit more than when I'm trying to do my own stuff. I don't know if it's just because like you turn it around yourself and you're like, I got to do this and this. But like when you're working with somebody else, there's a lot. I have such an enjoyment of like trying to make someone else sound as best as they can and pulling out that artistry in them. And me and Anthony have worked on your EP back in we started in 2017 into 2018. Mm-hmm. And that's when Coming Home gave birth.
Yeah. That came out end of 2018. You had a project at the time. We needed to lay like a dance studio floor, and you were like, help me out, lay this dance studio floor, and I'll help you record your EP. And I was like, deal, brother. Yeah. Give me some tools, let's go.
And I don't know what he was thinking, but he probably, like some people probably think, oh, I'm just going to set up a couple mics and just like play along to a click track, which we kind of started with that. But we just, the more we dove in to the actual like producing side of it, and we just kept chipping away and chipping away and going in and going into the point where, you know, Anthony was like, man, I see what's happening here. And then like, you got like a, some Nashville, you got like a Nashville musician to play on that. And then,
yeah, that would be, Mark, friend of mine, Mark, God, what's his name? Oh, God.
Nah.
Oh no.
Johnny on the spot. Mm-hmm. Johnny Mark. On the spot.
Mark, dun, dun, dun. Who are you? I'll get it.
I know plenty of Marks.
Yeah, he's up in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Mark Dreyer.
There it is. I was like, I knew there was a horror.
Yeah, he's got everything in that basement. Green screen, TV studio, you name it. He's got it. Red cameras and he had like a Hammond B, maybe a B2, but Tele Strat, you know, like 12 string, Get Joe. It's all there, and he can pick it up and play the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said something last night when I saw you about when I think it was that going into Pickup Man that you talked about that lick, and you said something about that getting that guy that did that on a recording,
yeah,
or something.
That's for real? March 30th, Brent Mason, who played the lick on Pickup Man. He's on Alan Jackson Records. He's just a boss studio musician. He plays out. You can see footage of him on stage on YouTube and all kinds of things. He's out there. But this dude is on records. So deep you don't even know.
Yeah.
And Justin sent me this link. He was like, hey, man, why don't you reach out to this guy and see what's up? Because pandemic shut everybody down. And you got a lot of killers sitting at home with a home studio set up and all their weapons just ready to fire.
Ready. You know? Locked and loaded.
And so sure enough, I was like, well, what's the worst that could happen? I emailed this guy and he's like, sounds great, man. He's like, I like that track you sent me. It's here's my rate for a track and send it in this format and this and that. Here's my availability. And we locked down a time. We've got two tracks that we've sent to him. Something to Believe In, which I played on your last podcast.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I love that tune.
It's such a good tune.
And then Page's Turn, which is the one we just played here on this one today.
Another killer.
No, he's asking for direction. You know, how do you want this? How do you want that? I'm like, man, take your ear, put it on this track, do what you do, because that's why you're you, because you're you. You know, you're not going to be you if I'm like, well, can you do this like this? No, I'm going to shut my mouth and let the professionals just take it and do what they do.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that.
Right.
But yeah, Justin was like, hey, check this dude out. And sure enough, here we are. In just a couple of days, Brent Mason's going to sit down at his home studio and lay some guitar on a couple songs I wrote.
Hell yeah, man.
Pretty stoked about that.
That's the fun of the internet, man, for sure. Like the fact that you can do that kind of stuff, like, and just, you know, I think of, speaking of, during pandemic and everything, they brought back Supermarket Sweep on Netflix. They put a bunch of the old episodes up.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch that.
My friend Danny Wallace is on one.
So I started watching them just, and I'm like, you know, it's just goofy and fun. And I was like, man, it got to be fun to talk to David Ruprecht about that. And I made a Facebook post and somebody's like tagged him on his personal Facebook page. And then he's like, yeah, I'll do it. Shoot me an email. And so I emailed him and we set up a date. 2 days later, I'm sitting on the mics talking to David Ruprecht on Zoom. And
what?
And I'm like, this is the craziest, like, you know, just weird that you put something out there to the universe and the universe responds and says, here you go. And like,
yeah.
You know, we did like a maybe 15, 20 minutes together, but just talking, and we kind of covered some of the other stuff. But what I found was interesting, because this show's based in St. Louis, but so kind of my opening angle to it was that he was born in St. Louis. He spent some time here as a child and stuff. He doesn't really have like a lot of strong memories of growing up here, but like because he was really young. But I thought that was cool that he has a connection to St. Louis, Missouri. So, cool. Yeah. Anyway, it's just neat to talk to the guy for a couple minutes. But anyway, it's just so I'm glad that he answered the call and is going to be playing on the record, man. So yeah. Hopefully we'll get these.
Sounds like I'm talking shit when I talk about it, but it's actually happening.
It's for real. It really is. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. A lot of like people might hear like, oh, okay, that's really cool. They're going to get that Nashville guy. But yeah. It's like he's a stellar sure. musician, man. I mean, if any, like you said, any Alan Jackson song, any that Joe Diffie Pickup Man. I mean, I'm sure I'm leaving like 10 artists off, but even the stuff that's on the radio now. like he's played on.
Right.
And it's certainly going to take the caliber of what we do producing together.
I don't play guitar like that guy. I don't know.
Anybody plays guitar.
I don't know
like
anybody
that
plays guitar like
that. He's a ripper, man.
Well, what do you want to, let's talk about that Page's Turn song we did. Like I said, we did a live stripped down version here in the speakeasy, but this is my first time hearing, man. It sounded really good.
Right on. Thanks, man. Yeah. It's really at the core of it, it's a song about my dad. And back in like 2014, I just moved back to St. Louis in 2013 from 10 years in New York and touring, and moved back here in 2013. And then 2014, my dad just suddenly died of a heart attack riding his bicycle to work. Just poof.
And, it's tough, man.
Yeah. So I always knew like I was going to write a song, but I didn't want it to be like that deep sort of somber kind of tone to it. I wanted it to have like more of like an appreciation of like the lessons and the time and, you know, an upward look towards it.
Yeah, I like.
And over Christmas, man, I got fucking COVID. December 23rd, I played like 5 shows in 5 different bars. No question how that happened. and sure enough, lost my taste and smell. I had a gig. We had a gig lined up at the Yellowstone Club in Montana, and we had to call it off because my fucking COVID.
That Rona.
But I got locked in the house for 2 weeks, Christmas, New Year's, all that. Like all the times that you get together with your family, the people that you really treasure. And I was like, man, zooming into Christmas, saying what's up to my family through a screen. And I was house sitting for my boss out in Troy. He's got horses and like, you know, 10 acres out there. And I was really just in the middle. I was in this house in the middle of nowhere. You know, I live in a duplex here in St. Charles, so I can't really just like plug in a microphone and get it how I'd like to. And I was in this house up in Lincoln County on a bunch of acreage, and I put up a little like snowball microphone on the counter, high ceiling house, and kind of started singing this verse or this chorus. It's never too late for a teacher to learn. Fireman's never safe from the burn. Cowboy will tell you it's the spurs that you earn. Like my boss's house that I was in, he was a firefighter. He is a firefighter currently. He's a horse rider. My family's always been in the education side of things for dance. So there's a lot of things that kind of connect there. And my boss that I work for now, I grew up dancing with his daughter. Okay. Long story short, he lost his son when his son was like 25, 26 years old. I lost my dad. And now the two of us work construction side by side. You got father who lost his son, son who lost his father. We got a cool thing going. And I was in this space while they weren't there, and there's firefighter helmets and shit hanging out all over the place and horseshoe coat racks, and sitting in the space, and there's a dog on the floor scratching like a fucking crazy thing. I was like, there's like a tick on a dog is a hard one to shake. It's my favorite line from the whole song. I'm sitting there trying to figure out this verse, and this dog just like losing his friggin' mind. I was like, man, I was like, you got a tick on you or something? Like, what's going on? Tick on a dog? I'm like, oh, good Lord, there it is. Boom. And I wrote the like verse chorus of that song. That was one of them like 20-minute sit downs. Where's the goddamn pencil? I'm gonna write this thing. And within like a week, that song just took shape. And
very cool, man.
Yeah, man. It's an emotional one. I can get through playing it without quiver lipping, but shit.
Yeah.
Can't talk about it.
Oh, my daddy was a hard-working man. His motto, plan to work, work the plan. Day in, day out, he surrendered a dream. Better life for my brother and me. All that he left me is a room full of tools, a little bit rusty, a little used. Lord, I got questions more than a few. Why'd you have to go so soon? I made some good love, like a ticker on a dog is a hard one to shake. I'm running out of fingers on these hard-working hands to keep counting lessons I don't understand. Well, it's never too late for a teacher to learn, and a fireman's never safe from the burn. A cowboy will tell you it's the spurs that you earn. All I know is you're gone and the pages turn. Taught me to drive in the snow. Your jacket was leather, your head was hot tempered. My old man's wrong. Some say sinner and some say saint. People ain't perfect and hell no I ain't. Well, it's never too late for a teacher to learn, and a fireman's never safe from the burn. Boy, tell you, you keep what you learn. All I know is you're gone. The pages turn. Yeah. I made some good loves, but I made more mistakes. Like a ticker on a dog, it's a hard one to shake. Running out of fingers on these hard-working hands to keep counting lessons I know.
Especially, I mean, I talk about it a lot on the show, but what about my mom and, you know, losing her, especially rather quickly. You know, she was diagnosed with brain cancer in June of 2019 and gone December 3rd of 2019. So, like, and most of that time, you know, she was, like, incompetent and, like, or that's what they said, they called, and, like, and but I couldn't have, like, conversations with her, and so she was pretty much... You know, she wouldn't speak for most of that. So it was like, it was really tough. Like, and especially like, I don't really talk about the other part about it, but that little, before everything happened, like our last conversation wasn't exactly like the best one. So it was like, so it stinks that like, went out. Like, that's the last, like, one of the last memories I have is like, where it wasn't the best one. So, so it was tough, man. But, you know, and there's days where I can sit and talk about it and it's fine. And then there's other times where it comes up and it just hits me, man. I'm like, you know, and it's like, and so grief is definitely, a funny thing like that. You know, you don't never know when it's going to hit you in the right time and stuff, but
yeah, but yeah, I hope it doesn't hit me on stage. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. Again, like, it's real, man. This is a real thing. Like, you know, so it's like, sometimes I've been a part of these, like, you know, singer songwriter things I've say a lot, and like people share some dark stories and, you know, about dealing with some serious shit, and you know, they sometimes they get it's the best of them, and it's like, and it's it makes you even more of a fan, and that these people have real emotions, you know, it's not just all Hollywood and thing, you know, so so when you realize, like, it might be kind of a fun song to dance and sing along to, but there's some heart to it also. But yeah, man, I was digging it. And like I said, this is hopefully we'll get that hot guitar licks all over it here in a studio recording and coming out soon. And
I mean, he said he's going to attack it on March 30th and then like he's going to sit down with some intention and you know, he's probably going to hit it and be done with it in the same day is what I'm hoping.
It's going to be a hot tune for sure. Like, very excited for everybody and the world to hear it. Yeah, especially all the close friends and like just everybody.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been doing a cool thing lately, man. I lay down a scratch track and I email it to Justin and he does the rhythm section out in Baltimore. Yeah. You know, it's like a postal service arrangement where we got to kind of record it remotely and pass it back and forth. And
Then we're going to pass it out to Brent and then he's going to pass it back to you. And
yeah.
Then you're going to go into a studio here and he's going to lay down some acoustics and
I'm going to re-record the vocals after Brent Mason puts his guitar lick on it because I'm going to sing it way differently. I know it. Mm-hmm. I know that you put that stank on it and
how can you not?
Yeah,
man. Well, very cool. You can get plugged in with these guys both on Instagram and everything, and so we keep up to date with more shows and more music and all that fun stuff. And is there official website for any or anything like that we need to hit?
I mean, there's not really anything advertised on it, but
yeah,
we've gone by the Step Hounds. But I mean, if you follow us individually, Have Taps Will Travel is my Instagram, right. But Anthony J. Russo, if you look up Anthony Russo, he's a more of an electronic bass musician, and this people get confused. Hey, I just bought your album and it doesn't sound like you. I'm like, well, that's the other guy with a common Dago name.
I got a buddy named Justin Johnson, and he's a folk singer songwriter here in St. Louis. But there is a Justin Johnson who's a cigar box guitar player.
He's got the shovel slide. I've seen that boy.
And Justin said that he's had shows here in town, and people show up and like, you look a little different than
we drove from South Dakota. Yeah. What the hell?
Right. It's just like, oh yeah, that's not me. That's the other guy. It's like, but you know, it's,
you got a shovel.
Yeah. I always think back to the Office Space line. Like, why should I change my name? He's the one that sucks. You know, like,
Michael Bolton. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the one who sucks.
Just go by Mike.
Yeah. I celebrate his whole catalog.
Right. He says. So funny.
It makes you think, like, why some of the craziest names are out there for like artists, especially in the country world. Like, there's some. I'm like, is that really their? Come on, is that really their name? Like, I can't even think of one right now. But like,
it's my friend Mason Jar over here. Yeah, like, man, your name ain't Mason Jar. Shut up,
Mason Jar. That's country right there.
That's country.
Yeah, but he's like, but my real name's like Robert. Yeah.
You met my son Hickory. Come on.
Yeah. And his sister Dickory.
Jesus. That sounds like a rough comeuppance for old Dickory.
Yeah.
and my other son Doc.
Yep.
This is Hickory. There it is. And this is Dickory. And that's Doc. I'm not as quick as he is, but I could get there once in a while.
I raised a bunch of wussy, I would name Dr. Quinn in medicine. it's sad, super sad, but I just recently watched that clip because the kid plays Walker in the Talladega Nights. Just died the other day, so
it
was super sad.
Oh shit.
Yeah, he went on to being a sergeant in the army and all this stuff, and but 28 years old and killed himself.
Fuck.
So yeah, super sad.
Damn.
Yeah. It was tough, man. But I was like, I watched that clip and I'm like, yeah, that's so funny that like that movie was so good and he was so funny in there as that kid and like and yelling at the other grandpa, the old, you know, like,
yeah,
throw chips, grandpa chips old war medals off the bridge and like.
We talked the other day about doing a set, not like really diving too deep into depression and what a lot of people have been dealing with even at an increased level over the last year, but we talked about covering some artists that people connect with, like covering Linkin Park, Chester Bennington, Scott Weiland, Chris Cornell, like not making a speech about it, but bringing it enough to light that people know that it's relevant,
right.
and feel understood and heard.
It's a real thing, man. A lot of people don't understand, and I wish they would understand that, like, these artists, like we had spoken earlier, that they, you know, they write music, they put their heart out there, You know, I'm sitting across from my best friend who wrote a song about his dad, and he got emotional about it. But a lot of these guys too are also writing songs about whatever it is that's close to them too as well. Mm-hmm. And obviously they're getting very emotional about it as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of them don't understand, like if you really go and research and you do like little bits of Googling here and there about, especially Chester, like a lot of his stuff, they're like, oh, it's about like a breakup or it's about this. And this. Like, no, man, he went through some shit. And a lot of it was drug addiction. A lot of it was alcohol. Like it goes deep. And you know, like Chris, all those guys, like
sure,
they battled depression, anxiety. Like, and it's something that hits me hard in the heart because I know I've dealt with it all my life too. Yeah, with depression and anxiety. I should probably write about it a little bit more. I probably write about it indirectly, but don't really like sit on it. But it's, you know, the point I'm trying to get is like, we as the consumer, as the listener, as the audience, we're listening and we're consuming ourselves to the song, but we're really not understanding the connection to, some people do like, oh yeah, I really feel his heart and lyrics, but a lot of us take it for granted. And then when these guys take their lives or they, you know, they commit suicide or whatever it is, they, you know, however they die, usually has to do with the root of where it's coming from. And then we don't talk about it.
Right.
It's like, oh, I guess we'll just move on. It's sad. But it's like, but you were celebrating all the songs that they wrote, the three albums. Did you know what that was about? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like, if we had a little bit more, not to get on a soapbox, but if we had a little bit more appreciation for that kind of connection, I think there would be a little bit more attention to like maybe depression and anxiety in this world, especially people with PTSD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's
100%.
I'm glad we're having this conversation because it needs to be, you know, needs
talked
to be,
about.
Yeah. So.
And people are afraid to talk about it. They'll talk about all this other crap out there.
Music saves, though.
Yeah, man.
100%, man. Music definitely saves. It saved my life a lot of times, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I said something off mics, but, like, that's, you know, there's so many songs, especially stories. I'm a big fan of, like, just the song storytellers in songs like that. Like, you know, those writers and stuff that, and, you know, when they write a song and it's, like, telling my story and I realize, like, you know, like, when you're not alone kind of thing, like you're not,
you feel comforted. Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Yeah.
You're just like, you realize like, man, like this guy,
oops.
Like, yep. I never
met. That's how I feel comfortable now with this whiskey barrel.
I never met this, you know, man or woman, but they're sharing this story. And I was like, you know, you have that connection to them and stuff. So it's really a neat thing, but you realize like we've all dealt with a lot of messed up things, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, but so
that's why a lot of artists like ourselves, and I'm sure I speak for a lot of guys out there that play cover songs, like there's probably that one cover song that we like to do because it just hits home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, we're like, let's play this, like that song that we play by Train. We just, something about that song, Heavy, it's a mm-hmm. deep track that probably maybe a tenth of the world has maybe heard. They've heard, you know, Hey Soul Sister and Drops of Jupiter, which are absolutely amazing songs. I love Drops of Jupiter. Jupiter. If I got my research right, I'm sure Pat wrote that about his mom, who passed away a long time ago. And if that's wrong, someone correct me in the comments below. But at the same time, like we cover like Heavy by Train because it hits us hard. We love the words, what it has to do. It's just got its drop D. It just hits home. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's some John Mayer tunes that I'll cover because it's like, I was going through a bad breakup or something, you know, and just like, it just hit home at that point. And it is comforting. Like you said, music saves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people just listen to music and they take it for granted, but they don't really dive into it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting too, like you were talking, mentioned like Chester and stuff and like even our Cornell, like, but like you listen to these guys' lyrics like afterwards and like you, like, I mean, like, it's like, man, all the clues were there.
Lane Staley.
Yeah. Mm. All like man. You just didn't, like, you just didn't put all the pieces together, but like there's a lot of like really, you know, dark things in those songs that, but it's covered up by big guitar sounds and stuff or whatever. Yeah. But you know, it's like,
I think one of my favorites is looking towards the lighter side of things and having music as a vice of comfort Jerry Cantrell, what is it? Black gives way to blue.
Mm-hmm.
dude, you listen to like the Alice in Chains catalog and you're like, holy shit, Layne Staley is like singing about what's about to happen. He's like calling the plays.
It's yeah.
And then they go dark for so long and they come back with Black Gives Way to Blue.
Right.
Holy shit. And they opened their concert with what I saw in New York when they hired that new lead singer.
Yeah. William.
Like,
William DeVille.
Yeah, yeah. Man, but like just, I mean, Jerry was responsible for a lot of the songwriting.
I think that's, Layne gets a lot of credit because being the front, but like, I don't think, you know, you don't necessarily realize how much harmony is all, it's all Jerry.
Yeah, and the richness of it.
So like, it's like, you know, that band would never be what it was without Jerry and they're creating that sound and stuff. So like, but that's what's so cool about adding William in there. Cause I was like, kind of like, man, I don't know how this is going to work without Layne, but William doesn't sound like Layne, but when they harmonize, they sound so good together, just like the records and stuff. So like it works still, like, and so it's they're still a great show, man. Like it's still a great band.
Yeah.
But the new stuff they've been like, all I say, like you say, Black Gives Way to Blue and everything else. I had a buddy on the show the other day. I was ask like about influential albums and stuff sometimes, and I forget the name of the something about Dinosaurs, newer record they put out.
Okay.
And but like. He's quite a bit younger than I am, and that's like for him. That's Alice in Chains. Like this, and it's like came out in you know whatever 15 or something, 16 or something like that. But that's like so. I'm like, man, like
you're like, I was like, you know, Jar of Flies, young man.
Yeah, he's like,
yeah.
That's what it's just weird. Like we're both coming from a very different, you know, time periods and you know an approach to it. But like he's like, man, that's like I grew up listening to this record. It's like this is a. You know, this is Alice in Chains to me, and I'm like, shh, dude, like, man, I go like you go back to the old stuff, and that especially that like I love that Unplugged set they did.
MTV
like,
Unplugged, that's just untouchable. So, dude.
So good.
But it's just funny to me, like, hearing that. But you know, again, like, but I'm like, I'm probably the same way with certain things too. Like where there are artists that like. When I found them is like where I had that personal relationship with them because that's the record I was introduced to them as, you know, instead of like starting at the beginning of their career and listen to the whole discography. A lot of times I'll go back and I do my homework and I'll listen to the stuff, but it's like, I'm still grown to love the stuff that I was introduced to because I've been the stuff that's been with me the longest. And
and I have your ear just recognizes that sound. And
the beautiful thing about the Alice in Chains MTV Unplugged at the Beacon Theater is like for me personally and a lot of people, and we listened to it numerous times. You listen to it, you got to see, everyone had the CD, but then like when you actually go back and watch it, there's a couple things that are in motion. Not only are they playing Unplugged, but they're also playing live. And this is like, they're not auto-tuning anything. Right. They're not overproducing anything. They're not going fucking apeshit on that stuff. And then when you see it visually as well, it's just all the emotion is just being just absolutely filthy, just dripping. All over that.
Yeah, it takes like the studio mystery magic out of the equation. Yeah. You're like, you just get to see people with acoustic instruments.
And emotion. Like the human, just who you are, you're there, you're on stage, you're doing it.
Yeah.
Killed me when I saw it, man. I was just like, he's got the microphone like way down here. And but it sounds amazing. And I don't know. It's just, It touches you in like a way that you can't explain. Other people just like they don't take themselves too seriously. There's like the little things when what song did he start and he messed up and he was like shit, and he had to start it over and just like damn and man.
He's like, let's cut to some LL Cool J videos. Or something
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
Like
we'll
that.
Be right back.
I like also in
unbelievable stuff,
in
man.
That set that he their the bassist has a friends don't let their whatever, friends don't let their friends cut their hair or something like that. I was like written on his guitar. Something along those lines when, and I think it was kind of like a jab at like Metallica when they all cut their hair off or something like kind of thing. Or
weren't they like sitting in the front row or something at that concert?
Something along, I don't know, something along the stories like that.
I think they were.
I don't know that story.
Oh.
Maybe, but it was just funny. Like it's, especially like that kind of thing. Like it was just a, if you're paying attention, you caught it, but you know, it could easily be you know, go unnoticed. But
yeah,
but yeah, anyway, it was yeah, I don't know, man, it was great stuff. If you haven't checked that out, definitely go do
that. Oh, it's so good.
I've got the DVD upstairs. Yeah. We'll have to revisit it. That
yes, you do.
But
ooh, we got a little.
There
we
go. Yeah, man. There we go.
And the thunder
rolls. Right on time, too. Yeah, look at that.
I gotta roll some windows up here in a second. Yeah.
But, again, come on out April 1st, St. Louis, Missouri, Blue Strawberry in the Central West End, and see these guys. It's going to be really a lot of fun. And like I said, you're going to get some songs. You're going to get some tap. You're going to get some storytelling, dancing.
And we're live streaming jokes. It too. Did we say that?
There's a live stream.
Yeah,
$15 if you're not ready to get out of the house and get into a room with other people yet. There's a live stream.
Yep,
$15, and they've got like state of the art equipment. They don't have to use like a third party. They live stream it. They do the whole thing themselves.
Yeah. We're not doing it off an iPhone or you know, which I'm not knocking, but this is like he said.
No, it's multi-angle audio feeds and everything. It's top notch. Nice. They really are doing some cool stuff down there.
Yeah, so get. Either way, you can get a ticket to the event or to the live stream, but it's gonna be a good time.
Yeah, come out and see the show. Get out of the house. Come get some some human vibration, and you'll laugh, and we'll have a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
Can't help it, man. We have a good time playing together, and I think that's the biggest thing that sets musicians apart. Is being able to just enjoy yourself in the moment, because that sells better than trying to sell it.
Yeah, man.
You know, and like we just do our thing, man. We love being on stage, and we got a lot of hours doing it, and that is one of the most clear and present things in our performance, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's you know, just contagious. That's probably a bad word to use right now, but
oh, geez, man.
Let's end it and start all over.
Yeah, I'll
edit that. No, you're good. You're good.
That's perfect.
But you know, it definitely, you just want to, you can't help but to smile, man, when you guys are up there having fun. It's like you have fun watching, so it's cool, man. I think what you guys are doing together, and hopefully we'll keep it going. I mean, I know you're heading back home in a couple of days and things, but hopefully we'll keep this party train rolling.
Yeah, man. We go back and forth, man. He comes out here for a little while. I go out to Baltimore, and we just kind of bounce back and forth. We'll set up some shows here. He sets up some shows there, and until we can really push the throttle up on it, this is kind of where we're at the moment.
Yeah.
We find the venues that are bringing people in, and we're like, you're going to bring us in, because we're hungry, man.
Yeah.
We're hungry.
Get some cookies.
Get some milk and cookies. Nah, man, we're just hungry to like increase the personal experience these days. Really, yeah. It's not like my fridge is empty. I'm, you know, I got me a part time job now.
Hey, damn it.
But no, man, we provide people a brief escape.
Yeah.
Well. 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, you're gonna forget about all the bullshit going on in your life. You're gonna laugh. You're gonna tap your foot. You're gonna nod your head and smile for a little while.
Yep.
100%. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you guys. It's been a ton of fun tonight. I'm really glad we did this. This is awesome. So
dude, we love you, man. Thanks for coming out, dude. Man.
Love you. Appreciate guys. It. Yep. All right. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.